Wisconsin is facing a $281 million budget shortfall due to lesser-than-expected tax revenue. A new jobs report for Wisconsin is out, and some describe it as lackluster. And there is a bipartisan push from lawmakers to urge Governor Walker to approve the proposed Kenosha Casino. We will talk about these issues and others on this Labor Day edition of our State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, September the 1st. Happy Labor Day to you. First, we will hear from Peter Barca, a Democratic state representative from Kenosha and the Assembly Minority Leader. After 7:30, we will welcome in Samantha Kirkman, a Republican state representative from Powers Lake, which is near Kenosha, and the Majority Caucus Sergeant-at-Arms. And we will welcome your questions and your views on all of these issues or any others you'd like to bring up at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's welcome our first guest lawmaker, the Assembly Minority Leader, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha, Peter Barca. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be back with you again, Joy.
Yeah, what are your Labor Day plans?
Well, we have a very vibrant Labor Fest in both Kenosha, Emerson, and Milwaukee, for that matter, where the president's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll start in Kenosha, where we're honoring my good colleague, Todd Onstead, who had been a very important labor leader for the UAW down in Kenosha for many years. And then I'll go up to the Racine Labor Fest and celebrate up there, where we'll be honoring a number of people who I don't think have been announced yet. And then, if time permits, on to Milwaukee and be with the president.
It's going to be a busy day. So let's talk about some of these issues that were in the news last week, and I know that you've been weighing in on. First, let's talk about the budget or projected budget shortfall. Why do you suppose tax projections are down?
Well, obviously, it's been very frustrating for us to watch the lack of economic development initiatives being passed in the legislature. We just left so many different initiatives that we know would have put people back to work on the table. And where so many of our surrounding states, of course, had a much more vibrant and bold plan, ours are rather anemic, and particularly in the area of job training, because there's no question there's 2 million jobs in America, Joy, that could be filled immediately if people just had the skills. And most states invested more heavily in job training. Unfortunately, the governor's budget cut the vocational colleges by nearly a third at a time that we really needed to invest more heavily in that regard. And even though there were some later investments that were made, it still has not really made up for the full difference that we've lacked. So as a consequence, we just don't have the kind of economic development efforts that we need, and that's why we're 10th of 10th in the Midwest in job creation, and that's hurting our tax collections.
Yeah. Well, what should the state do to address this shortfall?
Well, clearly the most important thing, I think, is to invest more heavily in the job training arena to close this skills gap, because there's about 40,000 people that could be put back to work in Wisconsin if they just had the skills. In fact, as a member of the WEDIC board, we travel around the state and we have CEO roundtables where we hear from business leaders in every corner of the state. And by far, the biggest thing that they bring up is the need to have trained workers, that they have jobs that are available that they can't fill. And at a time when we have so many people looking for jobs, when we're dead last in the Midwest, there's nothing more important than that. And we just need to really make that a huge priority in this state.
Yeah, you've said.
And then we can't leave things on the table. One of the things we're going to talk about is a casino. And you're talking about a huge number of people that could be put back to work immediately.
How many people can be put back to work if the casino is approved?
Well, in terms of construction jobs, you could put about 3,000 people to work in the construction industry. To make what would be a huge investment in adding to that facility, eventually putting a convention center. And then there's, the permanent jobs that will be created following that. So it's a That would be up to 3,000 jobs. That would be long term. And then the other side of it that's really exciting is that the projections show that we could bring 5 million more tourists to Wisconsin as a result of this development.
Yeah. So why do you suppose the governor's taking his time in announcing a decision on whether he approves or disapproves of the Kenosha Casino?
Well, I think there's no question that politics has played such a huge role in this factor. You know, there's a study that was supposed to be due over 3 months ago that still has not been released. We've paid the host people conducting the study $1.5 million. Now, there are not many consulting firms in America that would not put it at the top of their priority list if you're given a contract of $1.5 million to complete a study.
I know that you and several other lawmakers have signed a letter urging Governor Walker to approve the proposed Kenosha Casino. And in fact, our guest lawmaker after 7:30, I believe, also signed that letter urging the governor to approve it. But we also found out last week that the Potawatomi tribe, which has the casino in Milwaukee and is concerned about the proposed casino that would be run by the Menominee in Kenosha. Now, the Potawatomi is not paying the state its $25 million annual fee, and the governor says, he's concerned about that. And what do you have to say to the Potawatomi?
Well, that's something that only the governor can work through, to be quite frank, because, you know, these are sovereign nations. The agreements are administered by the governor, and the governor's in the course of negotiations with each one of the tribes. So it's really an issue for the governor to resolve. But, you know, what we're trying to achieve is really a win-win, because the Menominee have indicated they would certainly make up any tax revenue that's lost, as well as they would make whole the Potawatomi and any other tribes that lost as a result of their development. And, you know, it's not often that you've got a business that's willing to help their competitor if things aren't going well. So we believe this would be a win-win. Plus, I mean, just the mere fact that the studies have shown you'll bring 5 million more tourists to Wisconsin. You know, I subscribe to the JCPenney theory of marketing. JCPenney always built near their competition and said that by doing so, you bring more people to that area, and then everybody does better. And I believe that would be the case here as well.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says Governor Walker is right to take his time because he wants to make sure that the Kenosha Casino would be profitable enough to make good on its payments to state and local governments. Do you have any problem with that approach?
Well, I certainly have felt the governor should do his due diligence and take the time necessary. But, you know, it's been over a year now. How much time does it take? And, you know, and that's why it has such strong bipartisan support. You know, every legislator in the Kenosha Racine area, you know, Democrat and Republican alike, has signed this recent letter to the have been in support of the casino. And other than Robin Voss, I believe every other one has signed this letter that we sent to the governor. But, you know, obviously the speakers of the governor's party and is supporting any political moves the governor might make.
Madeline in Wapaka is with us to talk about the casino. Madeline, go ahead.
Hi. I'd just like to say I support the Menominees having their casino. I feel that, I'm a member of the Oneida tribe myself, but I feel that the Potawatomi are a small tribe, and they're so wealthy that some of that revenue could go to help the Menominees who are struggling. And that's my main reason, plus the jobs that it would bring.
Yeah. The Menominee tribe is the poorest tribe in the state, Peter Barca?
That certainly is true. And, you know, like most people in the state, the polls have consistently shown, as well as a recent one last week that came out from Marquette, that there is strong support throughout the state for the casino. In fact, Support's even stronger in the Milwaukee area, where the voters favor the project 60% to 25%, according to the latest poll. So we know that there is strong support throughout the state, and we believe it certainly will be a win-win for everybody in the long term.
We're talking with Peter Barca, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha, the Assembly Minority Leader, talking about the Kenosha Casino and why he says he hopes the governor will approve this and approve it soon. Says that it would mean a lot of jobs, among other things. And we welcome your thoughts on the casino. We'll also talk about jobs in Wisconsin. A new jobs report is out, and we'll get Representative Barca to react to that. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the State Capitol Report on this Labor Day, Monday, September the 1st. We are talking with, in this half hour, Peter Barca, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha, the Assembly Minority Leader. We will talk with another state lawmaker, Republican State Representative from Powers Lake, Samantha Kirkman, coming up after 7:30. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question or a comment for Representative Barca, whether it's on the proposed Kenosha Casino, or maybe it's on the budget shortfall, or maybe it's on the jobs report, or maybe it's on an issue in the governor's race. Fair game. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Mike in Oak Creek is with us. Hello, Mike.
Hi, good morning. You know, I'm not sure why the representative is surprised at the governor's indecision on the casino. Quite frankly, you know, Scott Walker has not changed his stripes on this. If you look at what he's done both as county executive and as the governor, you know, the governor is known as ready, fire, aim. If he wants to do something as an executive, he will just go ahead and do it. He will do it within a matter of weeks or months as soon as he's done his calculus and says, I've got the votes and I'm going to make it happen. Now, in this case, this is totally a case of he is going to be against the casino and he does not want to announce it until after the gubernatorial election this fall. He has a track record on everything else he's done that he will propose it. It'll take a couple of weeks in the legislature or the county council, and then a couple of weeks to kind of push through the socialization, and then it's done. If he wanted to get this done, he would have got it done.
Yeah, so thank you very much, Mike. That's Mike's analysis of this. Representative Barca, does Governor Walker just want to delay his decision until after the election?
Well, you know, only the governor knows for sure what his final calculus is going to be. But, you know, there's speculation on both sides of that equation. There's speculation he's going to wait till October when it's of the most benefit to him politically and come roaring into the Kenosha Racine area and sign it at that point. But I do agree with Mike in the sense that there's no question that, you know, the governor could have made his decision by now. You know, clearly he's had over a year. This report that the governor decided to spend $1.5 million in tax money to conduct certainly should have been done by now. And, you know, unemployment rates in the Racine area are over 10%. Kenosha is above the statewide average. And, you know, and he ran as a centerpiece to create jobs. And this is 3,000 construction jobs, 3,500 permanent jobs, just in the casino alone, 5,000 if you include the indirect jobs that are projected. It would have a huge economic impetus in this region. And so it is surprising, given that the centerpiece of this campaign was jobs, given the fact that we're dead last in the Midwest in jobs, that this hasn't been more of a priority and had more urgency. So yeah, I don't know where Mike's coming from.
You have said that now a couple of times, and certainly a Democratic candidate for governor, Mary Burke, has also used that line in her ads that we are dead last in the Midwest when it comes to job creation. But now the governor is touting numbers that say we're third in the Midwest. What's the story? Who's right?
Well, I'm glad you asked because, you know, it's interesting. In the PolitiFact actually did a report this morning in the Milwaukee Journal looking at those two statistics. And what the story is that when you look at the quarterly statistics over the last 2 years, it shows that we are dead last, 10th of 10th, that during the governor's tenure, over the last year, I believe it is, that we're 10th of 10th. But what the governor did is he looked at monthly statistics and said, well, based on the last month, and then you go forward and project, we're actually doing much better. Now, the irony is that these are the same monthly statistics the governor had been debunking all along, saying they're not as accurate, we shouldn't be using those statistics. And he's right, we shouldn't be, because what happens with these monthly statistics is they're doing a sampling of companies. They don't ask every company. And almost always they're revised significantly, sometimes upward, sometimes downward. But the ones that we can count on are the quarterly statistics, because they survey every single employer in the state. So they've been found to be more accurate. And unfortunately for Wisconsin, under those statistics that are by far the most accurate, we're dead last.
Yeah, there was a jobs report that came out last week from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Wisconsin turned in another subpar job creation report with news that it gained 28,653 private sector jobs in the 12 months from March of 2013 to March of 2014. So your reaction to that jobs report?
Well, unfortunately, it just doesn't surprise me because, you know, the places where it was so clear, where we heard from business leaders across the state we need to make an investment, we did the opposite. You know, we cut our vocational colleges by nearly a third at a time we needed to invest more. And the areas where there were opportunities to be bold and to go further, such as, you know, areas like venture capital or areas that would give us immediate job impacts, we just didn't do those things. Or if we did do them, we did sort of an anemic effort compared to our neighbors who have been much bold and much more prolific in their initiatives. And unfortunately, it yielded what I guess you would expect. And that's it. Instead of closing the skills gap, like many of our neighboring states have, we've lagged behind. And when you have opportunities such as this casino, which is just one example of many, we've not taken advantage of those opportunities to put people to work.
Let's talk just briefly about President Obama coming to Milwaukee for Labor Fest today. And I don't know if you want to call it a brouhaha over Mary Burke will be at Labor Fest but will not appear on stage with the president. She says it wouldn't be appropriate because this is a White House event and not a campaign event. Do you buy that?
Well, clearly, you do have to keep these funds separate. When they're official events and the president or the governor, for that matter, and they're traveling around on the taxpayer's dime, they have to be official events. Now, should they have chosen to make it a political event, then clearly it would have been a different equation. But in this case, the president, as he often does, travels around the country to help to, you know, promote policies that he's trying to get through and things that he thinks will make a difference in America's competitiveness. And in this case, the White House, this is part of a series of stops, I understand, that he's making. And it is an official visit. And, you know, of course, it's exciting. We're thrilled to see the president's coming back to Wisconsin. Even the governor acknowledged anytime you have the president of the United States in your home state, it certainly is a plus.
Yeah, there was some talk in Central Time. Our show in the afternoon is going to talk about this, whether or not President Obama's stop in Milwaukee will be a boost or a hindrance for state Democrats, including Mary Burke. What do you think it will be?
Oh, I think that it'll be a plus by far, just in the sense that, You know, the president will be pushing policies that Democrats across the nation support, whether it's, you know, increasing the minimum wage or whether it's, you know, promoting more job training initiatives. I'm not completely sure what his speech is going to entail, but I would be surprised if he didn't bring up both of those issues. And, you know, it's interesting because an economic report came out just a couple weeks ago, and it showed that wages are down nearly 25% from pre-recession levels. So even though it's exciting that, you know, the president's policies have helped significantly to put more people back to work across the nation, and we've now have as many jobs as we had pre-recession, the problem is that they're paying significantly less, and we're losing the middle class. So any discussion about how we can boost wages and personal income, because after all, as we all know, Joy, what made America the economic envy of the world was having a strong middle class. And we have to try to help to promote getting back to those kinds of wage structures where you have family-supporting jobs and people can support their family in dignity when they're working 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, great being with you.
Peter Burke, a Democratic state representative from Kenosha and the Assembly Minority Leader. We'll check news and then we'll talk with State Representative Samantha Kirkman. This is the Ideas Network. On this Labor Day edition of our State Capitol Report, we are talking jobs and other issues facing the state of Wisconsin, including whether you think Governor Walker should approve the casino proposed for the city of Kenosha by the Menominee tribe. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, September 1st. We just heard from Democratic State Representative Peter Barca in our last half hour. Now we will hear from another guest lawmaker, Republican State Representative Samantha Kirkman, and we will welcome your questions and your views for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So do you think Governor Walker should approve or reject the proposed Kenosha Casino? And why? Let me welcome our guest, very happy to have with us, Samantha Kirkman, a Republican state representative from Powers Lake, which is near Kenosha. She is also the Majority Caucus Sergeant at Arms. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, thanks for joining us. Happy Labor Day to you. Are you doing Labor Day-related activities today?
I will be headed to the Walworth County Fair later this morning, so I will be out talking to people at the fair and it's always a great time when you're out there hearing what people have on their minds, that's for sure.
And fairs are always fun, so enjoy yourself.
They are. The Walworth County Fair is the largest county fair in the state, so it's always a good time. And I know that it's been very busy over the last few days.
Well, I know that you also signed this letter along with Peter Barca, our previous guest. So this is a bipartisan effort urging Governor Walker to approve the casino in Kenosha. Why is this important to you?
Well, since last year, since the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs approved the casino, I've been working with our Kenosha delegation to help bring the Kenosha casino here, now the Hard Rock proposed casino, to the area. And, you know, this doesn't cross party lines for me. And, you know, so whatever we can do to try to get the most accurate information to the governor's desk to show the governor, you know, the support down here in the southeastern Wisconsin, and now with recent polls that have come out around the state, will help. You know, I know the governor's taking his time, and I'm willing to give him a little extra time. This past weekend, I've been reading some of the compacts signed previously by Governor Doyle and Governor Thompson for the Potawatomis, and I think trying to give me even more information to help the governor with his decision.
Yeah. Do you think the governor has reason to be worried now that the Potawatomi apparently is not paying the state its annual compact fee?
Well, and I think the letter that we wrote actually brought that information to light to us. I was not aware that they had not made their payment, and I think that that helps our hand here with the Menominee, who are willing to, again, offset any losses by the other tribes. The governor has gotten agreements from all the other tribes except for the Potawatomi, and it does make it challenging because their compact that was signed under Governor Doyle, I think there's 11 pages of arbitration, mediation, arbitration language in there, and it makes it very challenging for the governor to try to get to that compromise. And so I am willing to give him some extra time to bring them to the table with the other tribes to help them get to, you know, the correct answer. And, you know, I've really been supportive of this project. I have been up to tour, you know, the Menominee, you know, Indian Reservation. It was a great experience for me to be up there and meet the people who have been working so hard over the last, you know, 13 years to try to get their casino here in Kenosha. And I have to say how sentiment has changed. You know, back in 2004, before there was a referendum countywide, I thought it was about 50-50 in my district. And then the referendum happened, and it's about 61%. Now, that was back in 2004. And I have to say, you know, talking to people at the Kenosha County Fair and the Racine County Fair, it's probably about 80% who really want the casino here. And it's for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, why do you suppose there's such strong support now?
Well, you know, it's not just the job aspect. I think it's, you know, adding the entertainment venue, especially when Hard Rock came on, it really was a game changer. That was October of last year. You know, adding that level of an international venue here in Kenosha County really does, you know, it brings Kenosha County to, you know, the forefront of international. You know, it's not just Kenosha. You can go to Honolulu, you can go to London, you know, Hard Rock. It's really made it, you know, a destination. And I know Representative Barker talked about the increase in, you know, tourism. I do concur with him on that. I believe there's additional gaming revenue. I know the Potawatomi throw out there that they're going to lose about over $100 million of revenue. But I've also read the study from Illinois' legislature. They are also trying to get a casino over the border, where it says there's an additional $2 to $4 billion of gaming revenue that's just over the border. And I really believe we can bring that up to Wisconsin. And it would be a win-win for everybody, because I do believe people want to come to Kenosha, but they might actually want to go to Milwaukee too. And so last year, early on in the discussion, I actually sat down with the chairman of the Potawatomi tribe and said, why can't we work together? So I think we were all trying to get everybody on the same page. And he and I didn't get to that point where they were in support, but he at least heard me out, and I really do appreciate that.
No, Speaker Robin Voss says he, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he backs the casino, but he wants to make sure that the Kenosha casino is profitable enough to make its payments to state and local governments. It doesn't sound like you share those concerns. You think that this is going to be a profitable venture?
I believe so. I mean, from the, you know, the research that I have been doing, I do believe there is enough gaming revenue just south of the border that we can bring here to Wisconsin. I am, you know, always concerned about the displacement of jobs, but I think there is that partnership, you know, in the next 24 months here in Kenosha County. And without the casino, there's going to be an additional 3,500 jobs added to our area with the onset of, with Uline and Amazon and Kennel and all the other businesses that are making expansions here in Kenosha County and coming to Kenosha County. It's really a remarkable time. So I believe the casino jobs, those would be a complement to those manufacturing jobs we have already coming here to our area.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're all working together. Some of us share a little different points of view. You know, Representative Voss represents Racine County, whereas I represent Kenosha County. So there is you know, some difference of opinions. And I do occasionally run into somebody who's opposed to the casino. And I try to talk to them about, you know, other aspects of the casino. It's just not one job thing. It's going to be a complement. It's going to be an entertainment venue. It's going to bring shows to the area. They're going to need, you know, table dealers, but they're also going to need chefs and pastry chefs and, you know, housekeeping. And it really is a, you know, a comprehensive job area, you know.
Mm-hmm. So why is it taking the governor so long? It's been, a year now? And when do you think he's going to make the decision?
Well, you know, I want to say October last year is when he was originally going to make his mind up. You know, he gave all the tribes that opportunity, those 2 months, to where they were going to get him data. He was going to, you know, sit down with that data and make a decision by October 25th. And that's the data that I have circled on my calendar. I think the data that he got was, there were so many conflicting things in it, and he wanted to take the time that is needed. And I don't mind giving him an additional 6 months' time to really get to that right answer, and I think that right answer is yes. You know, the compacts are very difficult language, and we will have to go back and make payments in some cases if we can't get their agreement. And so that's why I'd rather sit down and save a little time, spend a little more time on the front end if I save a little time, if we save a little time on the back end. Because I do believe eventually it would go to court. So I really do appreciate that he's trying to get everybody to agree on the upfront.
I see. And, you think the Potawatomi will take this to court?
Somebody will take it to court, I do believe. You know, in looking at the compacts and what was signed under the 2005, the previous compact, you know, we went to court then. Those compacts, you know, and I was in the legislature at the time, and one of the few legislators who was there at the time where those compacts were extended into perpetuity, they did take it to court, and the court reeled those compacts back in. So, I do, you know, I would rather, you know, get to the right decision, which is yes, save a little time on the back end, so we can get those, we can get the Kenosha Casino open operational immediately on day one. You know, as soon as the governor does sign it, it does have to go out to the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs one more time, and then it's, you know, if the governor does say yes. So it is a long process, and it is challenging to explain to constituents who felt last year in August that when the Bureau of Indian Affairs approved it, that it was automatically a done deal, not realizing that it still had, you know, a few more steps along the way.
We are talking with Samantha Kirkman, a Republican state representative from Powers Lake, which is near Kenosha. We're talking with her now about her thoughts on the proposed casino, Hard Rock Cafe, for Kenosha, and signing a letter urging Governor Walker to approve the proposed casino. What do you think? Do you think that the governor should approve or reject this casino for Kenosha? And why or why not? Plus, we'll also talk with Representative Kirkman about jobs in Wisconsin and a projected budget shortfall for Wisconsin. And maybe you have another issue you'd like to talk to her about. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is a Labor Day edition of our State Capitol Report. We are talking with Samantha Kirkman, a Republican state representative from Powers Lake, who is in favor of the proposed Kenosha Casino and was among a bipartisan group of legislators who sent Governor Walker a letter last week urging him to approve the casino. But she's also willing, she says, to give him more time to reach the right decision, which she says is yes. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you'd like to talk about the Kenosha Casino or some other issues that we are going to talk to Representative Kirkman about. But since we have callers on the casino, let's go to Cole in Watertown next. Hello, Cole.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I'm happy that your guest wants the casino and says yes to that. But I don't think it's fair that or appropriate that he is saying I need more time for this bill when he was able to push through legislation on Act 10 and get rid of the train legislation all within a short amount of time. I don't see why now all of a sudden he says I need more time for this bill when it seems like a pretty clear choice, and he's had lots and lots of time to make a decision on it.
Yeah. We had a caller in our first half who said something similar, that the governor isn't one to dally when he wants to change something or do something. Representative Kirkman, what's your response?
Well, you know, working with the Native Americans and the tribes, they're sovereign nations, and the compacts that were set forth weren't set forth by Governor Walker. They were set forth by a previous administration. So now he's trying to negotiate through those compacts that are already been signed and then get to the right answer with this new compact that's going to have to be signed with the Menominee and the other tribes, because that is what's laid out in those compacts. So, again, it's a lengthy process, and it's not like you're dealing with, you know, just the legislature. You know, the legislature is really not involved in this process. He's dealing with a sovereign nation. And so, again, I will give him more time because I believe he's come so far in the past year to where we're getting, you know, more information out recently, you know, last week. I'm really confident that he's going to say yes. I believe that the public supports the project, and the governor knows that, and he's just trying to make sure that there aren't displaced jobs and that the compacts that are going forward now that he'll have to sign into the future are going to be a win for Wisconsin and going to be a win for the taxpayers.
Don in Manitowoc is with us. Hello, Don.
Good morning. I think that casinos certainly are a source of great revenue, and they're a big economic boon. Both sides on this particular issue, the various tribes' issues and everything, have a lot to gain from this. And it's big money. And why should it take until after the election to make that decision? I think it's very obvious. It's campaign contributions. Delay it. See, you know, which side gives the most money. After the election, the side that contributes the most money wins. It's just simple gambling.
A reaction to that, Representative Kirkman?
Well, I would disagree because, you know, early on in the process, the governor actually asked both sides to not donate to the campaigns. So he actually asked them to take the money out of it, and that was when he thought he would make up his decision by last October. That didn't happen because I think additional data came in, and he needed more time to review it. Even today, I hope it doesn't become political, because I really just want to stand with the governor when he's signing the compact at the dog track. I really am. That's what I'm working to. You know, in the first 3 months when this came out, I put 6,000 miles on my car. I would travel anywhere to talk to anybody about my support for the Kenosha Casino to try to help this cause. And it hasn't changed. I really do want politics out of it, because I think the Menominee, I have been up and I have now toured their reservation. They need this as an economic benefit to their community. They're a very large tribe. You know, there are 5,400 Native Americans here in Wisconsin. And the Potawatomis are 1,400 member tribe. The Menominee are about 8,000 member tribe. And, you know, the Potawatomis control currently half of the gaming revenue into Wisconsin. So that's about, of the payment that all the tribes make, is about $54 million to the state. They control half of that gaming revenue right now. So for me to give the governor a little bit more time to take politics out of this decision, I think is important. If he makes his mind up on November 30th or December 15th or January 30th next year, I'm willing to give that time as long as the answer is yes.
Yeah, let's. We wanted to talk to you about a couple of other issues and very little time left. But tell us how worried we should be about these latest numbers from the Wisconsin Department of Revenue showing that tax revenues lagged behind expectations by $281 million in the last fiscal year.
Well, as I look at those numbers, I think those numbers have gone down. They have dipped slightly because of the changes that we made last year when we got an additional $1 billion of revenue to the state. we were able to go back and readjust some of our income tax withholding tables, which caused a little dip right now. But I really believe that will, in the long run, will go up, because I know that more businesses now are making, you know, commitments here. And I know just in Racine and Kenosha County, with all the job announcements we've had going on in the last few months, we have 3,500 additional jobs coming on in Kenosha and 5,500 in Kenosha Racine together. I believe those revenues are down slightly, but we'll be back up as we go forward into the end of the year, into the beginning of next year, with those new jobs coming on board.
Does that mean we shouldn't have cut taxes, though, if revenue is lagging?
No, I think the dip is because we did cut those income tax rates to help, you know, spur more economic development here in Wisconsin. You know, I am right on the border. I know that Illinois is planning to increase their income tax rate again. 2 years ago, they increased their income tax 67%. I know that they have another proposal on the table to increase their income tax another 15% on top of that 67%. And when I talk to people that are, 'cause I'm right here on the border, that are work in Illinois or they have, you know, connections in Illinois, they want to move here to Wisconsin. They are excited about the direction of our state. They are excited that Governor Walker has made significant strides in bringing jobs to our area and to the state. So I have such a different perspective just because I'm on the border with a state that's made different choices. Another person yesterday said to me, what about their pension liabilities? I mean, they're billions of dollars in debt with their pension liabilities. Wisconsin has a very strong and vibrant pension here in Wisconsin. You attend national conferences, they always talk about what we've done here in Wisconsin. So just because the revenue is down slightly, I believe by the end of the year it'll be back up and even more money into our state's budget.
We're going to leave it there because we're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Yep. Thanks for having me on.
Samantha Kirkman, a Republican state representative from Powers Lake, which is near Kenosha, Majority Caucus Sergeant at Arms. In our first half hour, we heard from State Representative Peter Barca, the Democratic Assembly leader. Thanks to both of our guests for joining us on this Labor Day for our State Capitol Report. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Bill Martins, who produced this program and is here for on-air production and direction as well. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.